This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Swanson joins me live in studio. His most recent book is Undoing the Imperial Presidency. He's online at davidswanson.org and warisacrime.org. And we have a whole lot we want to talk about. Why don't we start with, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the 5th District race in Virginia and the debates. Tom Perriello on the left, Democrat, Robert Hurt on the right, independent candidate Jeff Clark even further to the right, and it looks like they're cutting Jeff Clark out of the debates, even though they told him that he could be in the debates, but looks like he is out, and that result probably of Robert Hurt saying that he wouldn't participate if Jeff Clark was in there.
Yeah, I would certainly place them on the right, further to the right, and even further to the right to define these three candidates. I don't see any of them on the left. And it's interesting that the independent Green Party that usually runs a candidate from the left in this case is running a candidate from the right in a district where the incumbent is widely seen, misperceived, in my opinion, as being a good leftist. And here you have the incumbent, Tom Perriello, wanting that guy in the debates. And the Republican, and I don't know who's applying pressure to whom, but somehow the Republican view that he should be excluded seems to be winning. And of course, from the Republican candidate, from Hurt's point of view, he'd like to have Perriello depicted as on the left and himself on the right in a respectable sort of fashion. Whereas for Perriello, I can imagine him preferring to have himself and then the guy who's a little bit more to the right, and then the guy who makes right-wingers look like a little bit loony. And that would be a better situation for him, not just in terms of winning the debate, but in terms of splitting the votes of those people who are on the right, people who you know, like wars but don't like schools and hospitals and parks and so forth, people who lean that direction, split their votes between two candidates, and maybe you win by more than, you know, 0.7% this
time. So, David, I didn't know the Green Party was involved in getting what I thought was a Tea Party candidate on the ballot. Jeff Clark, an independent candidate. So the Green Party is out getting signatures for this guy.
It's not the National Green Party, but it's the Virginia Independent Green Party. If you go to their website, you'll find their list of candidates, and the guy for the fifth is a guy they collected signatures for, and it's this guy, Jeff Clark.
Because they see that as if Jeff Clark is in the race, then they can split the vote, and that will benefit Perriello.
I can't imagine any other explanation than that it benefits Perriello, because Mr. Clark, I don't think, shares a single position with the Virginia Independent Green Party. If he were a libertarian and opposed the wars because they cost money, as maybe Virgil Goode would have done by this point, then I could sort of understand it. There's one issue. But look at Jeff Clark's positions on his website. It's pro-war. The only kind of jobs he wants are weapons jobs. It's against everything anybody on the left or the middle or the center right stands for. I can't imagine where that support comes from except to play spoiler.
It's really interesting that it shows you some of the politics of the Green Party, the supposed, you know, left-wing liberal Green Party, helping to get Jeff Clark on the ballot.
Well, I like their position of wanting more people on the ballot and wanting it to be easier to get people on the ballot and to have better access to be in the debates and have a broader perspective of views, absolutely. But they know the system they're working within, and here they're working it to benefit Perriello because he's widely perceived as being a progressive kind of guy. I dispute that.
Well, let me ask you about that. We're talking with David Swanson. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. David's online at davidswanson.org. His most recent book is Undoing the Imperial Presidency. You don't think Tom Perriello is a left-wing liberal, and yet we certainly hear that from the folks on the right in our community and throughout the 5th District. They sort of paint him, well, they do what they did to Obama. This is the most liberal member of the Senate that we've ever seen. And you don't think Obama or Perriello are left-wing at all, do you?
Absolutely not. And I think one of the most important issues right now to figure out where somebody stands is, do they support impoverishing our grandchildren, borrowing more money from China to fund the escalation of these wars or not? You have a majority of Americans, almost certainly a majority of Virginians, and in this district as well, opposed to both of these wars now. And here we are with Congress looking at $33 billion to escalate the war in Afghanistan. And unlike all other spending for schools or anything else where they're careful to raise taxes or take it from somewhere else. They just put it on a credit card from China. Do you support that sort of thing? Do you support further impoverishing our nation, destroying our economy to escalate these wars, or not? And if you come down on the same side that all the Republicans, that Virgil Good would have come down on unless he came around, and you just don't talk as obnoxiously and you aren't as racist as Virgil Good, you know, that's not a significant step forward, I don't think. I would like someone who invests in jobs and healthcare and schools and not wars. And that's not Tom Perriello.
Why is it you think it is that folks who tend to be very fiscally conservative and holler at any increased funding for parks or schools or any of this kind of thing see it as a big government scheme, and yet the billions that are literally lost, disappear in war funding that we have no accounting for at all? They don't blink an eye.
Yeah, trillions. I think, you know, in terms of national Tea Party organizations, a lot of them are funded by groups that are essentially the Republican Party, and that's their agenda, is to fund the wars, but not anything else. But even locally, you know, we who were protesting Tom Perriello's possible funding of this war escalation reached out to the local Jefferson area Tea Party folks and said, do you want to work together? You oppose all sorts of wasteful spending. We oppose the single biggest piece of it. Could we work together? And they...
What was the response?
Well, they essentially denounced us as hypocrites when they found out that we actually didn't like wars because wars killed people. And people on our side, of course, seemed to see them as hypocrites because they denounced spending except if it was for wars. And so there's a real cultural gap between the two groups. I certainly come down...
So they would support you if you were against war if it wasted money, but they don't support you if you're against war because it kills innocent people.
Maybe. Although they have yet to oppose the war because it costs money. They would certainly be welcome to do that, and they can love killing people. But if you don't want to waste money, trillions of borrowed dollars off the books, then you have to oppose the continuation and the escalation of these wars.
We're talking with David Swanson. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. He's online at davidswanson.org about war funding. Tell me the story recently. It was just a few weeks ago, right? That the House of Representatives basically agreed to increasing war funding without a vote, and it was in the middle of the night, and this got very little media attention.
Bizarre, yet to be mentioned to my knowledge in a single media outlet in the 5th District. And as you'll recall, Obama promised not to do these off-the-books, quote-unquote, emergency supplemental bills to fund the wars. He would do it within the military budget. Well, he went back on that last June when he did the first of these, and there was a huge fight over getting that passed, and it passed. It was very, very close to pass it, and that was because all the Republicans voted no because of unrelated stuff that was in there. And so then you can only let 30 or 40 Democrats vote no or it fails. Well, here, a year later, there was no way they were going to hold the Democrats to 30 or 40 no votes. Lots of Democrats were going to vote no. They were going to have to pass it with Republican votes or not pass it. And yet, they wanted to pass funding for teachers, which would cause the Republicans to all vote no. So they wrote a rule. A rule is what says how the procedure for how a vote's going to go through the Congress. And the rule said, this bill will be considered passed if any of these four amendments passes, and if not, it will be considered never to have been brought up at all. But we won't actually vote on it. And so all the anti-war, and they could do this because it had already passed the Senate, and they're taking the thing from the Senate and sending it back to the Senate, but without actually voting on it. It's very rare procedure and very...
So they basically passed a rule that said this bill will be considered passed if any of its amendments pass.
If any, we're going to allow four amendments. You know, they hardly ever allow amendments on the floor anymore. They allowed four specific amendments, three of which were anti-war amendments they knew would fail, but would give an excuse to anti-war Congress members to vote yes on the rule, and the fourth of which was the money for the teachers and other things that they knew would pass with Democratic votes. And so all the Republicans voted no on the rule, and some Democrats did, including Tom Perriello, but he gave reasons that were unrelated to the war funding. There's all sorts of other crazy stuff packaged in there we can talk about, but he at least took the position that funding the war didn't outweigh his various reasons for voting no.
So the House voted to increase war funding, tens of billions of dollars to Afghanistan, but they never actually voted on that question.
It was $33 billion to escalate, to send 30,000 more troops and many more mercenaries and contractors to escalate the war in Afghanistan. They did not actually have the traditional substantive vote on that policy. They just had a vote on a rule that said, we will deem this passed if an amendment to it passes, and otherwise we won't. And they sent it to the Senate.
It was the middle of the night.
This was very late in the night on July 1st. And if you look at the Daily Progress on July 3rd, you'll see an article about Tom Perriello's vote. And it won't even mention that this was fundamentally a war funding bill. It won't. The word war won't appear in there at all. And yet what
happened
today—
Sounds like the crazy—it sounds insane, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like the kind of crazy thing a country does when it's falling apart. I mean, you're talking about corruption.
It's insane.
Blows my mind.
It's insane, and it was meant to confuse people, and I'm sure we've confused everyone listening here, and that was their intention, to make it very complicated and to avoid a clear picture where the Democratic leadership and all the Republicans back the war, and most of the Democrats oppose it. They didn't want that. But that's where they may be this week or next, because the word this afternoon is that the Senate just won't stand for funding teachers. They want to fund the war in a responsible way that doesn't prevent a single teacher from being laid off. And you know, consider that crazy.
So the Senate is sending the bill back and saying, take this amendment off that has something to do with teachers.
Right. If the Senate had agreed to exactly what the House passed, it would go to the president and he would sign it, except that he threatened a veto over a particular way in which they're funding the teachers. But if the Senate, as it looks very likely this afternoon, the Senate sends it back to the House and says, no, you pass our version that doesn't have that teacher funding and other nice stuff in it, that means the House will have to have a vote. And they can make it a procedural vote if they want, like last time, but people should be on to them. And they won't have those nice anti-war amendments in there to confuse everybody this time. So we may very well be able to block it in the House. With votes opposing the war funding.
We're talking with David Swanson. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. He's online at davidswanson.org. His most recent book is Undoing the Imperial Presidency, and Barbara is with us. Barbara, go right ahead, real quick.
Hi. I agree with you, David, but, you know, to be practical, and I'm not usually practical, and I am disappointed with Obama, but it's like comparing the flu to a cancer. I mean, the Democratic Party has its flaws, but then you consider the Tea Party people, which the Republicans kind of metastasizing into the Tea Party group, and now the Tea Party groups are metastasizing. I think there is the real ever-present danger, and I think that, to be practical, which is hard for me too, I think that we ought to perhaps lower the volume on criticizing the Democrats and realize who the true enemy is.
Thanks, Barbara, for the call. Let me give David, we've only got a few minutes left, and let's give David a chance to respond to your point. She's saying the real enemy is the Tea Party, so stop criticizing, you know, your only hope, which is Perriello and Obama.
Well, political opponents are not enemies. They're political opponents. And, you know, the Tea Party actually isn't elected to our government. It doesn't run anything. We've elected the Democrats to control both houses with significant majorities and the White House. And to say that we should not push them to do what we want, to represent us, to follow the president's advice and get out there and make us do it, is to treat them as a dictatorship rather than a representative government. I think it's absolutely respectful and our duty as citizens to tell them how we want to be represented. And that is not to say they are our enemy and ought to be killed. It is to say they are our representatives in our government.
We're talking with David Swanson online at davidswanson.org. So what your thoughts on the Obama administration? And you know, just because you and I ran into each other the other day and you were sharing some thoughts, and it really is getting a lot of criticism from the left, a lot of folks on the left who are just disappointed. But then again, there's people like Barbara who say, well, we got to be practical. He's, you know, he's all we got.
Well, our best hope at being represented at all, God knows what our government in Washington does almost never corresponds with where the majority of the American public is, but our best chance is through the House of Representatives, which means not leaving all power in the hands of presidents. It means putting some of it back in the Congress and forcing the Congress to represent us. My opinion of the Obama administration is not very high. We have bigger war budgets, bigger military budgets, bases in more countries, more secret military operations in more countries, drastically increased use of drone strikes into other countries.
A renewed Patriot Act. Yeah.
Renewed Patriot Act, heightened powers of secrecy and claims of government secrecy, all to protect the Bush and Cheney administration, the real enemy, the job that this administration is doing to protect the previous administration is incredible. More prosecutions of whistleblowers than any previous administration. The continued use of funding the wars off the books. The use of signing statements to rewrite laws. The all of these endless broken promises, and all of this fixing in place of these outrageous powers that were seized by Bush and Cheney during their years. This is going to be handed down to the next president, which may be from the bad team that you don't censor yourself with and bow down before. And that can't be good for anybody.
We're talking with David Swanson. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. So what's on deck for you? I mean, what are you looking at in the next few months? Clearly, the congressional race is coming up in November. You have any thoughts about that, what it looks like for Democrats?
Well, when Clinton was president, he was willing to sacrifice many Democrats in the House, and he had two more years to play with. And I see the Obama White House as doing the same. This war funding is disastrous. I mean, here you have a bill that we didn't even mention puts in a measure that makes cutting Social Security much more likely. So this is about shifting money from retirement to a war, and you have a president who's threatening to veto because they pinched a little bit of money out of the Secretary of Education's slush fund for corporatist education policies in order to keep teachers from being laid off. You have a president who suggested cutting off food stamps in order to come up with this money. This is a president who is not, despite the speech he made today, is not prioritizing jobs and housing and things that people care about and vote on in local congressional races over his interests in wars and Wall Street and things that people don't care about and in fact oppose. And I think he has years to play with, but Democrats in the House do not, and it may hurt them.
David Swanson, he's online at davidswanson.org. We got time for one quick phone call at 977-1070, and we will go to that as soon as Bailey passes it over. We'll go to Russ. Russ, you go right ahead real quick.
Okay. I was just listening to that comment about, all the powers that, were sort of handed over to Bush and Cheney for the war efforts and all that. We're kind of in a case where our powers as individuals have been handed over to the government left and right in both the previous administration and the current administration. The current administration is now attempting to take control of the health care markets, of financial markets, which has basically been passed. And here to the people who believe in constitutional government, the Tea Party, if you want to call them that, or people that believe in those principles. I don't know what the Tea Party is exactly, but I'm talking about people who believe in constitutional principles, and that's why we're having such a turnaround in people's thinking here. I don't care if you call them Tea Party, or whatever you call them, but there's a stellar rise in people's awareness that they're losing their rights left and right.
Russ, thank you for the call. David, your thoughts?
I completely agree, and I applaud the willingness to recognize that destructive trend through multiple administrations of different parties. The healthcare one is interesting in that I saw today that the Obama administration is claiming in court that it has the right to force people to buy healthcare because it's a tax. Whereas, of course, their argument some months back, if anyone remembers, was that this is not a tax. No taxes, has nothing to do with taxes, and so forth. We are routinely lied to. But to talk about constitutional government, the only right the Constitution gives us is the right to habeas corpus. Bush threw that out. Obama's thrown that out. Under constitutional government, these people would be impeached. They would be prosecuted. We wouldn't be fixing in place in the Obama administration Bush's policies of detention and imprisonment without charge, torture, rendition, all of these abuses, warrantless spying. Wonderful article in the Washington Post this morning about not just the warrantless spying, but the whole spying apparatus, 850,000 people with national national security clearance. I bet that's not as cool.
It's like the population
anymore,
of DC, you know? Has clearance, right, in Washington.
Right.
Yeah. It's insane.
Well, it's crazy, and it's even in the Washington Post's analysis, the reason why they never get anything right. There's too many of them. There's too many conflicting, competing agencies, privatized and incompetent. And that was done by Bush and Cheney, but it's being expanded upon by Obama Biden.
Check him out online, davidswanson.org. His most recent book is Undoing the Imperial Presidency. David, thank you so much for being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.